It seems your
Ew.
thunder stick was placed on my porch instead of yours.
Thunderstick!
Welcome to the Tether Radio Podcast, the only podcast keeping you from spiraling out into the infinite abyss. I'm your host, Daniel, and I'm joined, as always, by Allie.
I have had a little less caffeine than you have.
No, so to let the listeners in on the intro just now, I was doing comparisons between Starbucks drinks because I think that I was, like, over-caffeinated for probably the past, I don't know, 50 episodes, so I decided to take it back a notch because I was doing venti blonde roasts that were, they were coming in at like 475 milligrams of caffeine, which is a boatload of caffeine. To put it into perspective, 50 milligrams of caffeine is in a normal cup of coffee. So,
oh.
Yeah.
So you were 10 cups deep.
I was. Whoa.
Okay, does it say on here how much? Oh, okay. So my my venti iced coffee that I get there, oh, let me switch the size, is 235 milligrams.
So I backed it down to the Cafe Americano with a blonde, espresso,
yeah,
and it's clocking in at 300, and I'm feeling like I'm not orbiting the Earth today. So
I think we are orbiting. Wait, no, we're on the Earth.
I was
Fuck.
Gonna say,
Allie,
come on, man.
Ooh, buddy.
Oh, holy shit!
I am actually the moon. I am orbiting the Earth. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, at least you're tethered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bingo. We
Dude,
need, we need some
across,
of those bells to slap.
I come across the word untethered in like every book I read, yeah. And I'm always like, yeah.
Hell yeah.
It like feels like seeing my own name as a character.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even check. I think it was like 7:30.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Something
yeah.
like that. Sorry. A little housekeeping. So I was talking to Allie a little bit before we started recording, and it feels like I haven't seen her in forever, and we were together on Wednesday night?
Yeah. Yeah, that we recorded Wednesday.
Holy shit, that seems, no kidding, like last week.
It seems like a couple weeks ago.
What happened?
Like, I don't... I keep, like, when I tell anybody anything, I'm like... I'm like, yeah, the other day, well, it was... Like, every story I start with, I'm like, I don't have a concept of time anymore. Mm. I just don't. I don't know if this was last week or last month or maybe in June. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, shit, we were talking about, apparently I sent Allie a story that she's giving me credit for, and I was like, I did?
You
I
did. We that? Discussed it yeah. a little. I mean, a yeah, little yeah. back and forth, but like, yeah. You're like, I don't think I sent that. I was like, you totally did, dude.
Here's the timestamp, doofus. Let's move on. Well, cool. How's your...
Couple
well,
days.
Honestly, yeah, a couple days. Well, we didn't really talk about the week on the last Untethered, so...
Yeah, not really.
Anything Monday through Saturday?
I don't really think so. I mean, it was fine. Nothing really big or anything. My hands are just shredded because the kitten...
Oh.
Like... She's so sweet, but then when she decides to play, she's like, attack! And I'm like,
Mignette?
Miette.
Miette.
Yeah.
Mignette. What is Mignette? Is that something?
I think
Did
that's
I make
something.
That word up?
No, I think that's something.
Miette. Okay.
I'm gotcha. Thinking of Vignette.
Oh, that's maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Huh. But yeah, like, I...
Just shredding you.
She's so cute. The other night, she curled up. I was sitting at, like, an angle on the couch, and she curled up between... my leg and like hip and the back of the couch, just like wedged herself in there and immediately knocked out. And she was snoring like these tiny little kitten snores. Yeah. I was reading and Jesse was watching TV and I was like, you gotta mute that. And he was like, why? And you could just hear her being like, It was the cutest little.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you found somewhere warm and you are done.
That is awesome. That's like one of those moments that you just like, you mute everything and just for like 30 or 45 seconds, you just take in the cuteness.
We did.
Man.
We totally did. Yeah. Oh, so cute.
That's awesome.
What about what's new with you?
Well, so I've got a couple things for my intro stuff, just some quick mentions and stuff. I went to a wedding in Memphis that was absolutely fucking awesome. Shout out to Matt Redden and SJ, now Redden, for getting married. We're so happy for you guys.
Yeah.
And Matt has been a longtime listener, so... I hope that he ropes SJ into listening also.
Yeah.
You hear that, Matt? I'm looking at you, bro. Yeah. But it was an absolutely amazing wedding. I of course always have to make an ass of myself at weddings.
Yeah,
it's kind of like my thing. I'm that guy sometimes. So like the song Gangnam Style came on.
Oh, God.
And everybody left the dance floor. Except for me. And I just broke it the fuck down.
Wait, do you know that, like, can you do the dance?
No, I can do, like, a little bit of it.
You just kind
of
winged it?
I just completely made shit up. I was doing the fucking, like, sprinkler and shit. Like, just being a dummy. But it was fun as hell. Really good getting to see all of them and catch up with the, you know, pharmacy friends and stuff.
Yeah.
That I don't get to see that often. The other thing that I was going to mention, I lost my credit card. And honestly, after this morning, my son started talking about how Allie had a credit card. And I was like, why are you talking about credit cards? Did you take daddy's credit card? Where's daddy's credit card? You little fiend.
And at this point, you've already replaced it and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Totally. Yeah, which I mean, I guess this makes sense because... credit card companies want you to have a credit card at all times.
Oh man, they get you it quick.
Dude, FedEx overnight.
Yep. Yep.
Like it was kind of bizarre.
Yep.
But now I have like this old school Discover card that it looks like like a scene from Miami Vice with like a sunset, you know? It's so ridiculous.
That's what the new one looks like?
Yeah.
What?
But I kind of love it because it's like an 80s throwback kind of thing. But anyway, the other thing that I was going to talk about real quick was, fucking house hunting.
Oh man.
Megan and I are looking to move, just sticking in hopefully sticking in the West Knoxville area. Dude, it has been fucking just outrageous. Like I can't even put it into words. It's like we see, Megan will find a house and she's like, let's go see this. And she'll find it like 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and we've got, you know, a scheduled viewing or whatever at, I don't know, 4?
Yeah.
And we go back, you know, we get contacted by, like, Amber, and Amber's like, yeah, it's pending.
God.
And we're just like, I mean, I'm not going to put an offer on a fucking house I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
You know? Or at least seen in person. But it's just, it's been bizarre.
Ugh.
but I mean I that makes me feel like we're gonna get rid of our house pretty quick, so that's nice.
I mean,
I guess,
that part's good, but like you gotta find somewhere.
Exactly. So I don't know, maybe we'll just hawk our house, put our stuff in storage, move in with my parents for, you know, a while, and build another house or something. I don't know, but that is not really on the options.
I dreamed this week that I was like, it was a dream, so I don't have like an explanation, but Jesse wasn't around. I don't know what happened. And I was living with my mom, which I love my mom, but like she wouldn't want me to live with her.
Oh,
like,
no,
I'm
no
grown,
parents.
And no
kids to live
with. And I was just miserable in the dream. And I was like, this sucks. Like I woke up and I was like, ugh.
You're like, I'm going to go take a shower.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to mention, just because obviously dealing with all the pandemic stuff and since sports are kind of starting to open back up, UT played their first game on Saturday night.
Yep.
Obviously, with our recording schedule, this is Sunday morning, but you guys will be listening to this on Monday morning. So I just wanted to mention it, though, because more important to me, I love Tennessee football, but I wanted to see how they dealt with, you know, social distancing and mask wearing and stuff.
Yeah.
And like,
no, it was at South Carolina though,
correct.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So honestly, another comparison is going to be between stadiums and like, are they going to be more strict, less strict, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But it was really interesting because they didn't do, they did social distancing left and right.
Oh my God.
But they didn't skip,
yeah,
like rows kind of thing.
Okay. Are you sure they didn't? Because sometimes, like, or maybe, sometimes the camera angle makes it look.
And they might, if they did, it was one row kind of thing because it was still like people were, you know.
I did see the crowd a couple times.
To, they, and I believe they were supposed to be wearing masks the whole time. I would say 50%.
Really?
Kind of thing, yeah. The other thing that was really interesting, and I just thought that this was kind of funny more than anything, is the interviews of the coaches, like, at halftime.
Yeah.
Pruitt comes over, who is the head coach of the Vols, and he comes over, and the lady, I can't remember who's interviewing him, but she asks him a question, and she's like, doing the distancing thing.
Yeah.
Both of them have masks on.
Yeah.
And he answers the first question. Then she asks him a second question. And he's like, I don't know what you said, but I think it was something about our offense. So I'm just going to answer that. And I was just like, okay. But, and the other thing was, is like, I think that at that point, I think he was just getting frustrated. So he like pulled his mask down to like, because I mean, dude, you think about in a stadium. I'll tell you what was the most fascinating thing to me about all this stuff is how much, knowing how much I rely on facial expressions.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing you know, in addition to hearing what somebody's saying.
Well, I can't read lips worth a damn.
Yeah.
So, like, that part doesn't help me.
Yeah.
But it muffles the sound. Like, it changes the sound.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we all know this. I'm just saying. Like, everybody knows. But, like, It gives you that fuzzy sound.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't talking any louder over it. So, like, I know a couple of the my bartender friends will be, like, trying to tell me something and be, like, kind of low-key about it. And I'm like, girl, I can't hear you. You're going to have to talk up.
Seriously, dude. Like, we're going to have to get, like, those cones that you put in your ear or whatever.
Or just text it to me, man. I'm sorry.
Just text it to me. We're going to go to, like, complete and utter digital communication over this stuff. But I just thought that that was some kind of interesting stuff to, you know, to bring up, I guess. And see how people deal with it moving forward.
Well, so. I was going to bring up a thing about the pandemic because of... a similar thing to that.
Yeah.
A group that I'm in on Facebook, a girl made a post and she was, it's kind of just like a social group thing.
Yeah.
This girl made a post and she said her best friend and her boyfriend are both teachers and like, she just feels sorry for the shit that they're going through with like, online teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that her boyfriend got in trouble and is no longer allowed to have his cat ever appear in the background of his videos. Because some parent lodged a complaint with the superintendent. And I'm like, this is your hill you're going to die on? Seeing a cat in the background of the video? Like,
I don't... That's so bizarre.
What even is your logic here?
I think a spotlight is being put on teachers right now with, like, how much shit that they... Like, the
parents are being insane.
Oh, I completely agree.
Well, someone else... There was a whole conversation, and the original girl said, oh, yeah... They also are not allowed to ever have their own children ever show in the background of them. And it's like, we're all like, doing things from home.
Yeah.
Like, I am home. My children are home. Sorry they walked through the kitchen.
Sorry I have kids.
And
kids do kids shit.
Right? And they got in trouble for drinking coffee on screen.
What?
What?
My teachers always drank coffee. In,
yeah,
like,
they're allowed to drink it
school.
At work and stuff, like at school in front of the kids. Like, what are any of these complaints? Like,
that's so
people
weird.
Are just looking for shit to complain about. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
That's so weird, man.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that some stuff gets pushed through. That it's like, hey, this is how shitty teachers have it.
Yeah.
And this pandemic has only made it shittier. Maybe we should, like, revamp how we're going about this and, like, take a little responsibility off the teachers and maybe put it back on the parents where it should have been in the first place.
Yeah, like,
kind of thing.
Like one of them, another girl chimed in and was like, I'm getting complaints from teacher or from parents because their kids are not doing their work at home. That's at home, buddy.
Yeah.
You're the parent.
But see, that's I was talking to one of our neighbors in our neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how, like, when this stuff first started and the kids first went back to school,
yeah,
we were probably about a month or 6 weeks in.
Yeah.
And he was like, I mean, we opted to send our kids back because he was like, I mean, we can't homeschool. And, you know, I think his oldest child is like second grade, maybe.
Dude, homeschooling is not for everybody.
No, well, not only that, but it's, and I mean, it's like
they a lot of people have jobs too.
Well, and they're required,
yeah,
to be logged in,
yeah,
6 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine looking at a screen and trying to pay attention to lectures for that long with no breaks.
Yeah, and
stuff,
we're in our 30s. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I mean,
even try to get a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's just, it sucks. And I hope that,
it makes some positive changes for teachers.
Yes, I hope that.
I don't have a lot of faith that it will, but
no,
I do hope
I know.
It will.
And it's, I mean, you look at how teachers have been, you know, the history is the best, what is it, forecast for the future kind of
sure,
thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking or having that in mind, it's like, probably not.
Yeah.
But yeah. I hope the same. And I don't know. I just hope people will start cutting them a little more slack and stuff, because everybody's learning to do this. You
well,
know?
That and, like, everybody's stressed out. Everybody's mm-hmm. irritated. So, like, please stop trying to take it out on everyone in your
yeah.
life.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we've kind of ranted for a little bit about teacher rights, let's go ahead and hop in.
Yeah.
What, you got anything you want to start off with, or?
Man, this one's burning a hole in my pocket.
All right.
What? This is the one that you sent me that you thought you didn't send me.
Okay.
The first thing I saw about this was saying that there were hysterectomies being performed at a prison in Georgia against the prisoner's will.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even without their knowledge sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please be Georgia the country. Please be Georgia the country. It's Georgia the state.
God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see how that's even...
Well, they don't speak English.
Well, no, but I mean, like, how is that... I mean, that's basically... Well, and this is probably a bad comparison, but that would, in my opinion, be kind of like, okay, taking a prisoner and performing an undisclosed or involuntary hysterectomy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because basically, is that not...
Yeah, that
ICE,
is what...
ICE
yeah.
is for illegal immigrants that have been...
Yeah.
That are in custody of the
yeah.
U.S., right?
Yeah.
So...
So, this whistleblower complaint, mm-hmm. It said that high rates of hysterectomies, sometimes without what the complaint called proper informed consent,
mm-hmm.
have been performed on women in a privately owned immigration jail in Georgia. So there's a human rights group that filed the complaint, and then there's also a whistleblower who is a licensed practical nurse at the mm-hmm. facility.
Yeah.
And The Intercept, I mean, they did some work on
really?
This. Like, they had a lot of separate interviews with people to make sure, like, they interviewed separately 3 other current detainees at the facility, 8 advocates for the detainees, and a former employee,
mm-hmm.
and they found all those accounts to be consistent with the complaint.
Jeez.
So, yeah. The nurse, like, she's named, like, they talked to her by name. Her name's mm-hmm. Dawn Wooten.
Mm-hmm.
She said just about everybody that doctor sees has a hysterectomy. So, like, he's got this just reputation now among the other prisoners
yeah.
about rough treatment of women during exams. And performing a high number of procedures. One woman
Ugh.
Had repeated medical visits. She requested to be deported because she was worried that she would lose her reproductive system if her only choices were to see the doctor or remain untreated. And they deported her. Like, that's a bit... If you want to have kids and they're going to take all your stuff,
I mean,
that's a
yeah.
problem.
And it seems like... And I'm just going on what I'm hearing because
yeah,
I haven't
yeah.
read this and
sure,
stuff. But
sure.
But no, I mean, that seems like they're basically making it such a terrible experience to be here that
yeah.
it's like we will make you want deportation instead
but
of
I don't,
this other
I don't
option.
Know that all the women are conscious of that
yeah.
or that going home is an option for them,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So, but they said like, ICE, of course, said that it does not comment on matters that have been presented to the Office of the Inspector General. But
mm-hmm.
they did say, and this is a quote in their like response for that.
Yeah.
That said, in general, anonymous unproven allegations made without any fact-checkable specifics should be treated with the appropriate skepticism they deserve.
Do we have, do they have any kind of numbers?
They said,
And I don't know if, like, if I'm hopping ahead or
No, I'm kind of skipping around in it. They actually talked to the doctor.
Yeah.
And he said that he only conducted, he only conducted procedures on immigrant women. No, he did conduct procedures on immigrant women brought to him from the facility.
Mm-hmm.
He always requires the approval of the detention center before conducting any necessary procedures. And he said,
which I feel like that really does. I mean, the detention center is probably going to be like, well, do whatever you fucking want.
And the complaint is pretty much on the center.
Yeah.
And he said he has only performed one or two hysterectomies in the past 2 or 3 years, which to me is a very specific and certainly not just a number and a time frame just pulled out of one's ass for sure. Yeah, that sounds pretty.
1 to 2 in the past 2 years. Yeah.
1 to 2 in 2 or 3 years.
In 2 or 3 years.
Like, which is it? What?
God. Well, plus, now this is just me, you know, having the little experience that I do with the medical profession.
Wouldn't you have records to check?
Seems like records would be present, you know.
Thank you.
That you could say, hey, I have done this many in this many years.
Yes.
Thank you and goodbye.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
several...
unless shit's being done off the books.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, God, that's even all... Oh, that's more... Mm-hmm. Several women detainees whose accounts were shared with The Intercept said that they had no choice but to go to the doctor and that he's become notorious for the rough treatment and everything. The nurse called him... God, what did she call him? Fuck, I cut it out of my notes. Sorry. She called him something like the uterus collector.
I remember that nickname
yeah.
basically. Yeah. The uterus collector.
And
Jesus.
She estimated that more than 20 women had undergone hysterectomies in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
And one 23-year-old woman wasn't told what the operation entailed until afterward.
God, man, that just seems it seems like either a lack of oversight or just some blind eyes being turned kind of thing, right?
Well, and, you know, they would say, oh, well, we went in to remove a cyst and we saw that the fallopian tube was clogged, so we took it.
Yeah.
And, like, no. And also, like, medically and ethically.
Yeah.
Give her that option. Like, let her come too, and if she wants to do it, have a second procedure.
But that costs money, Allie.
Yeah, but...
I'm kidding.
I know.
I'm joking for everybody out there, but... yeah, that seems... that seems very... yeah. That sucks.
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
Isn't this pretty much eugenics?
It's seeming that way.
It's very... If all this is true that they're saying, it sounds like this guy is probably just like, well, we don't want your kind bringing any more into the world. You know, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Did anybody else like pick this up or was it? Yeah.
I think The Intercept, it was their like main thing,
gotcha.
But I think it got, if you Google the doctor's name, there's a ton of results. Like,
gotcha.
It was on like CNN and like MSNBC and Fox News and stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it always, as interesting to me as the, like, titles and the actual content of this stuff, it's really interesting to see who wants to touch it and who doesn't want to touch it kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's fucked, man. That's supremely fucked up. So.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. Huh. Well,
Bring us something a little lighter hearted, please.
Okay, here, let's talk about... I've got a really weird one.
Okay.
How about that?
Good.
So I pulled this one from The Verge. Go read this story about a bizarre harassment campaign by a group of ex-eBay employees.
Okay.
Now, have you heard anything about this?
I think I have.
Okay, because it was really weird.
Okay.
So basically what happened is Back in June, they had authorities in Massachusetts. They announced that they were charging six former eBay employees in connection with strange harassment campaign with a strange harassment campaign of a couple who ran an e-commerce newsletter. So basically, what happened is these this couple, Ina and David Steiner, they have this newsletter that. I was trying to remember what the name of the newsletter was. I can't remember. It might have not even been mentioned. Anyway, but they put eBay in a supremely negative light.
Okay.
So, and the weirdest thing is that they're ex eBay employees. So I don't know if they got. I don't think they got canned.
Yeah.
Until like. I mean, they were already not working for eBay, but...
I mean, sometimes the people that know the juiciest stuff are ex-employees.
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's a good point. So the charges include... well, it was six people charged, and the charges include conspiring to commit cyberstalking and tamper with the witnesses.
Cyberstalking is such a weird thing.
It is supremely bizarre, but apparently it's ridiculously prevalent also, yeah, or yeah. at least in legal or lawsuits these days.
Yeah.
So they sent a book titled Grief Diaries, Surviving the Loss of a Spouse and a Funeral Wreath to this couple.
Okay.
Okay, so...
That's implying one of you is dying. Yeah. Okay, okay.
Okay.
Yikes.
They got fly larvae and live spiders and a box of cockroaches. Copies of the September issue of Hustler, Barely Legal, touting, quote, eye-popping 18-year-olds. And these were sent to their neighbors, but with... the David's name, David Steiner's name on them.
Oh.
So it was like just other, you know, other houses around them.
Oh man, that's like making you look crazy to your neighbors.
Yeah, it's like whatever, sending a big dildo to like a friend or something.
I saw somebody on Reddit post one time saying they got a box when they were expecting something, they didn't look and they just opened it and it was a big dildo, but it was for their neighbor. But they had opened the box and they were like, there's not a good way to be like, sorry, I just opened this without looking. Also, enjoy your night.
Yeah, seriously. It seems your thunder stick was placed on my porch instead of yours.
Thunder stick? Please don't tell me that's what you call your own wang.
No. Oh my god, not at all.
Wow, thundersick. The nerve.
I'm writing that one down.
Yeah, I was gonna if you didn't.
Anyway, so they had their home address doxed. They had their car followed while driving around their neighborhood, had pizzas delivered at all hours, and they even were told, like, after these people were caught, that they plotted to put a tracking device on the Steiner's car, which apparently never happened.
Yeah.
It is just absolutely some bizarre stuff, but basically they said that the Global Security and Resiliency Team, as the team of ex-eBay employees was known. Let me read that one more time. Global Security and Resiliency Team. That is really weird.
That's sketchy.
Yeah. So basically, they wanted to harass the Steiners and then have eBay step in and put a stop to it. And they figured by having that occur that basically there would be more positive light shown on eBay.
Okay.
Which is just, that is just so strange.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, just really, we are living in some really weird times.
We live in a society.
You know what?
We really do.
We need that on a shirt, man. The Tether Radio Podcast, We Live in a Society, ..
Love that.
The cool thing is if you want to check out more on this piece, the New York Times actually did like a way more in-depth coverage of it. It's called Inside eBay's Cockroach Cult, The Ghastly Story of a Stalking Scandal. I don't subscribe to the New York Times. I know you do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We might have to like, I might have to get you to like copy paste this for me, because I kind of want to read like the rest of this stuff. This seemed pretty bizarre. But
That's pretty wild.
But yeah, so let's see. And then according to the Times account, the campaign against the couple was sanctioned by eBay's then CEO, Devin Wenig, a claim he denies. Quote, I was just speaking off the cuff.
Okay, but...
So apparently, like, he was actually, like, maybe made some comment and it was misinterpreted? Mm. Or either that or... Those are six fall guys for old Devin Wenig. So, or six fall people.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know their genders. So, but anyway. So, I just thought that was really weird and like a really bizarre like harassment campaign.
Yeah,
you know. I don't know, but I figured that was kind of entertaining.
It's weird because it's about, like, so. I don't know. I feel like if you're going to harass somebody to the point that you're sending them funeral wreaths and things that about losing
gnarly.
A spouse.
Yeah, that one was gnarly.
That sounds like it's going to go further.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I mean, you're literally, I mean, you're terrorizing this person.
Yeah.
Like, that, if that isn't an, you know, implicit threat.
Yeah.
Or at least that comes off to me.
Yeah.
As completely one, so. I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting and really bizarre. So
yeah,
if you
want to,
if you want to check out more on that, check out the full story from the New York Times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Send me that, and I'll
for sure.
I'll copy and paste some mojo back to you.
Yeah. Here, man. Let's see.
Oh, did you hear about my? I told you about this just a little, but not on the podcast, but the lady in New Hampshire that voted topless.
Let's get to that. Do that one.
So, she wore a shirt that said McCain hero, Trump zero. And she was told that she couldn't wear that inside the building because it could be considered electioneering, which is like, I know we have that too. I think that's every state. Like, you can't wear anything that, like, promotes a whole party or shits on a whole party or a specific person of any of it.
Yeah.
Because they call
that
electioneering.
Kind of interesting.
I know, man.
Because I don't know. I mean, I who do you think, what percentage of people do you think show up to the polls and they're like, I was swayed by a t-shirt?
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
People are fools, though.
Wow. Okay.
And it's that, honestly, it's that name recognition. Yeah. I mean, that's why people put these stupid flags up and they're the yard signs and stuff. But
which I'm so glad our neighborhood actually does not allow. So
I guess our neighborhood probably doesn't allow it, but
a lot of them definitely
ones near us, like on like the main road and stuff. Yeah. There's someone with an actual Trump flag on a flagpole, and I'm like, shut up. And there's someone else with a giant Trump Pence flag, but they don't have a flagpole, so they like hung it on their garage door, just like tucked into
Megan
where it
and I
closes.
Saw something
I bet
like
you did.
That.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, yeah.
But
I was just like, oh, you bastards. There's one Biden yard sign in the middle of all that, and I'm like, you guys, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
But yeah, so this lady, they told her that she could take it off, cover it up, or turn it inside out before she could go to the voting booth.
Yeah.
Thinking she would just go to the restroom and come back. And she just took her hat off and ripped her shirt off and was not wearing anything under it.
Yes.
And
that's freedom, baby.
That's
welcome
freedom.
To America.
And she, the guy they interviewed for this, the town moderator, Paul Scafidi, said the other people with him, other poll workers and voters, this is a quote, they all went, whoa. I was like, whatever, just let her go vote.
Hell yeah.
So she did, and then she put her shirt back on when she left.
I mean, dude, but I love that.
Hey, man.
It's like, okay, I'm following your rules. Yeah. You gave me these options. I chose one.
You tell me to remove it?
Yeah.
All right.
And honestly, I think fucking awesome on them for letting her vote.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they could have been super a-holes. And
I think he was probably just like, oh, this is going to be a thing. Let's cut it off here and let it happen.
Oh, that's awesome.
But she was like, why can this guy wearing an American flag shirt wear that? And they're like, because that's just, that's not a...
That's bipartisan. Pretty broad, buddy. We're all America, so... Yeah.
There's a whole thing now about, like, basically anybody that, like embraces American flag stuff is usually a Trumper. And I'm like, I don't think that's fair. That? Like, it's pretty accurate, but, like, it's also pretty shitty.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that it's really been interesting how we have evolved to this point to where, literally, it's like, if you're patriotic in general,
pretty much,
that it's like, you're shit on.
Yeah.
You know? And I hate that, because it's like, that literally just means that you like the U.S.
You can love the country and hate the president.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean...
And so, I mean, it's weird how all of this shit has started being lumped into, like, literally this or that, nothing in between.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, anyway. Cool. I love that, though. Great. I love that she just fucking, she was like, all right.
I have to make a conscious effort, though, because I've got six Bernie shirts.
Yeah,
like, I have to remember not to wear those when I go vote.
Like, I was talking to Megan about how, I was like, dude, I need to, like, get some more shirts that are just a little more, like, completely neutral or, like...
Yeah.
And, I mean, not even politically. Like, I showed you that shirt that Megan got me that it's got Freddy Krueger on it.
Yeah.
And it says, follow your dreams.
Yeah.
I mean, because I love horror stuff.
Yeah.
I can't take my kid to daycare in that shirt.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, like, I dropped him off in my No Agenda one that said, we're all gonna die. And I was like, that was distasteful.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But
and just to clarify, it's not in huge print, and it's in a circle. So, like, you might not get around to it, but it's also...
And probably people are just going to glance and be like, I don't know, a graphic tee.
Yeah, yeah. But it was one of those things that I actually have to make a, like, conscious effort not to wear, like, a Freddy Krueger shirt to my kids' day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just had, like, I have my own, like... Our dress code at work is basically not existent, but like I'm not gonna wear anything political or like sassy or anything, you know. So
well,
like
it's like we were talking about like people that just take to social media with zero filter, and it's like, man, this, you know, this can affect you in the real world just because you're posting something digitally and like whatever, it's a public post or whatever.
Yeah.
This, you know, especially if you have a business or, you know, you rely heavily on the public for your income, you know, it's just, it's really weird how, like, just unfiltered people can get, you know?
Yeah.
But.
Oh.
Yeah.
His son randomly was out a few weeks ago and complimented my shirt.
We're specifically not using those, by the way.
Yeah. and I was wearing my shirt that's got a female Baphomet on it that's got, like, tits and a vagina.
Yeah.
And says, I am my own god.
What?
And his son was like, I love your shirt. That's awesome. And I was like, your dad would be so mad that you said that. Like, I didn't say that to him, but I was just like, just basking in that.
Hell yeah, man.
But like, yeah, I'm not going to wear that to work.
Man. That's probably a good call.
Yeah. I'm not going to wear my, I have one that says, my feminism will be insurrectional or it will be bullshit. I'm not gonna wear that to work. But like also I'm like, do I don't want to look fighty. I just like shirts that say bold things.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of one of those things that like I don't know. I would never, I'm not going to like wear something that's super on either side kind of thing because there are just crazy people out there that are already on edge.
Yeah.
And it's like They're just, some people are just looking for a fucking fight.
And, like, I'm not going to wear a shirt that just explicitly says, like, fuck Trump or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's fighty.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's just supremely abrasive.
Yeah.
Regardless of your, you know. But, so, let's talk about, I want to talk about this a little bit because Apple's kind of been under the,
Apple's been doing some weird shit.
Apple's been doing some weird shit, and they're under the spotlight because of, we kind of talked about it a little bit on a previous episode, of how, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, I am H-O, I don't see how Apple can get away with having a monopoly on using their app store and are able to charge, or I'm sorry, are able to get 30% of all in-app purchases. Like, yeah. That seems almost like on an extortionist level.
It's pretty sketchy.
And completely monopolistic.
And people would always complain on the Audible subreddit. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, why don't they update the app where you can buy stuff in the app? Why do I have to go? And like every single time, I'll be like, because Apple takes 30%. They're not going to do that. They're not just...
I mean, that is
they're not just overlooking updating the app, dude.
Yeah. Well, and the issue to me is just like, I mean, 30% is a fuck ton. Yeah. That is just shy of a third, man.
I mean, like call that it is like 5% or something, and that's
even
fine.
10%. Or,
like a credit
that's
card
not
processing
crazy.
Fee
yeah.
is usually like a 3% or something. Yeah. Like,
and so basically, this battle kind of got spurred by Fortnite, and I think it's ByteDance. Who is it? ByteDance.
ByteDance owns TikTok.
Okay, never mind. Maybe they do own Fortnite. I
no.
can't remember. No, it's Epic.
Epic on Fortnite. Is that right?
So,
Larry, shout out to Larry.
Yeah, what's up, Larry?
He's a little behind, and he was listening to us talk about the Fortnite thing. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me last night that, like, he was listening to it while he was waiting to pick up his kid from school.
Yeah.
His kid's 9. Yeah. And he plays Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, hey, did you know about Fortnite? And his kid knew everything about it.
Oh,
like,
really?
He was like, yeah, it's because Apple takes 30% and, like, they realized you could buy cheaper, I don't know, rupees or whatever it's called in the game. And,
I'd love that you said rupees. Shout out to Zelda.
or whatever. Like, the kid, like, explained it. Larry's just like, how did you know all that?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, they put it on the loading screen in the game. Like,
it is a big, big deal.
Yeah.
But I love that they're fighting. I love that Epic is fighting back because... Yeah. Even though Epic...
And that they're making it, like, publicly known.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, Larry's 9-year-old, dude.
It needed to happen. And the cool thing is I think Epic is going to have the finances and the legal team to actually
put up
a good fight kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that will be good for all the little guys.
Yeah.
That it's like, you know, whatever, these $5 apps or $2 apps that have in-app purchases.
Yeah.
It's like... Getting the actual creators more money should be everybody's fucking prerogative.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so that was a big lead into this. So Apple is temporarily waiving its App Store fee for Facebook's online events. This was kind of a little like tiff between Facebook and Apple. Basically, what happened was Facebook decided to. They said that they would not collect fees for the next year in order to allow businesses to basically make more money during this pandemic because everybody's fucking hurting.
That's cool.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, and once again, and this is weird because I feel like this is like 3 times in a row that I've been like, good on Facebook.
I know. I'm like, I don't trust it. Ultimately don't. Like, are you just... What's the phrase? Virtue signaling?
Yeah.
Like, you're just doing it to look good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Know,
so they were fighting with Apple about that because Apple basically said, well, you guys can, you know, not charge for fees, but fuck it, we're still going to collect it. And so they basically said, today Facebook is announcing, and this was the 25th, September 25th, they said that, they basically had contacted Apple, and Apple had dismissed its request to waive the App Store's customary 30% fee on in-app purchases. Today, Facebook is announcing a reversal on Apple's part. Online event fees will be processed through Facebook Pay without Apple collecting its 30% cut, meaning businesses will receive all of the earnings from their online events minus taxes. So, and that's going to last until the 31st. So it's cool, but... I think that the whole fucking 30% needs to be revisited personally.
To a much lower number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because, I mean, dude, Apple is already making money hand over fist.
Oh, yeah. And like 30% is so, like, if they were making 1%,
yeah,
do you know how many transactions that's gonna be,
dude?
Probably,
so,
yeah. Probably,
yeah,
in your story.
I was gonna say, yeah, they actually had like, I want to say that it was in the, it was either hundreds of millions or like even made it into the billions kind of thing. It was just wild. And this was the other thing that was crazy. Facebook asked them to change that that policy, and Apple basically said, verbatim actually, "The App Store provides a great business opportunity for all developers who use it to reach 500 million visitors each week across 175 countries.
Yeah.
To ensure every developer can create and grow a successful business, Apple maintains a clear, consistent set of guidelines that apply equally to everyone, which is not addressing the issue in the least." The issue is that you guys are fucking taking way, way more than, like, I mean, you look at, like, the Patreons and the PayPals and the, all this stuff, you know. They're doing, like, I think the next closest thing to Apple is maybe, like, Patreon, and it's, like, 10 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah, it's not,
I mean, it's nowhere close to 30, you know. Ugh. It's just wild to me, but I think that it's really cool that they're fighting back against Apple, because Apple is just, I don't know.
It's
almost
so
like...
huge.
It's so huge, and I think all these tech companies, there's like starting to be infighting, which I like.
Yeah.
Because it felt for a little while that they were kind of joining forces and stuff, and I don't know if they're just putting on that they're there's infighting, or like,
yeah,
you know, just to be like, oh no, how would we be monopolistic? Look, we're in a legal battle with these guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the case or like what, but
know.
But I think that it's hopefully a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And hope maybe in the coming years they'll walk that back to like 15% or something. I don't know. I mean, I know that they'd be giving up an absolutely insane amount of money, but it just seems super extortionistic, I guess, or very much like an extortionist. 30% just seems way too steep. So, but hopefully this will kind of spur more companies to, I don't know, look at different ways to circumvent the App Store 30% fee. And I don't know if this is legal, you know, illegal. I think that it actually does violate the terms and services kind of stuff for having an app in the App Store. But I mean, maybe they'll end up in enough legal battles that they'll be like, look, will 20% make you guys happy? You know, I hope something comes of it. But.
Yeah, because I just, I don't know, like, the way the tech world has moved so quickly lately. Yeah.
Well, legislation's never going to...
Exactly. You know, that's where I was
going. They're
going
never going to catch
no,
up.
No, they can't because, yeah. I mean, we can't even cover tech news fast enough to keep up.
No, you're right.
Let alone write new laws.
No. Yeah, yeah. No, I completely agree. So, yeah. I don't know. Hopefully this will get a decent bit of press and, you know, maybe something will come of it.
Yeah.
So... Allie, you love Twitter.
I love and hate Twitter.
I was going to say, let me walk that back. Allie, you have a love-hate relationship
sometimes
with Twitter.
Sometimes I love Twitter.
Okay. I wanted to talk to the listeners and to Allie about something that is kind of in the pipeline as a beta, not open beta, closed beta for a new app to potentially start... competing with Twitter.
Oh, you mean Mastodon?
No. Hell no. Not Mastodon.
What did they call, instead of calling them tweets?
Oh, toots?
Did they call them toots?
I think they call them toots.
God, that's dumb.
Yeah. No argument here, man. So this one is called Telepath.
Okay.
Now, Telepath was created from, you're familiar with Quora, right? Or Quora. The question.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Site. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There were former a team of former Quora, and that is Quora, right?
I think it's yeah.
A team of former Quora employees that are basically taking their experiences and everything from Quora and trying to wrap it into a new social media app.
Okay.
And the interesting thing, or at least interesting to me, is that really what they want to do is they want to focus on moderation and I was trying to remember what the other word was that they specifically they basically said that they wanted to, let's say, moderation would come as the app scaled, they said, and to beat up the founders for not having, basically what happened is they rolled this thing out and people were like, hey, why don't you guys have better moderation? And they're like, hey, we're like a 5-person team. Like, this is why it's a closed beta. We're working on it kind
sure,
of thing.
Sure.
Which I get that. And I mean, to expect somebody to launch an app perfect, that's, you know, yeah. In my opinion, that's kind of outpacing reality. So, but anyway, so they did want to have moderation completely in mind, with just at the forefront of developing this thing.
Yeah.
They said that let's see, the app, which like Clubhouse, is available. Which I'm not familiar with Clubhouse. Are you familiar with Clubhouse?
No.
Okay. It's only available in private beta and requires an invitation to use. It resembles a hybrid of Twitter and Reddit. So you have to basically be a part of a group in order to post in it.
Okay.
And so it's almost like...
Like,
I mean,
closed Facebook groups?
Yeah, honestly, kind of like that.
Okay.
And so they said that... What stands out about Telepath is their approach to moderation, which is both more aggressive and more constructive than anything that this author has seen in venture-backed social app at this stage of development. So what they really want to do is they want to make sure that people understand these accounts are linked to actual humans.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, they require a real name.
Yeah.
They require a real mobile phone number, and you cannot use a voice over IP, like burner number, to even get an account. So like no Google, whatever, what is it, like Skype numbers and shit like that. Like, you have to have a legitimate like cell phone that's registered with, you know.
But how would they?
How do they check that?
How do they check that? Because I know people that use their Google number like as their main number.
So I think that. And I could be wrong, but I think that, like, the way that it bounces, that
it'll show,
I think,
if it's
it
a carrier.
Forwards it to,
okay.
You know,
okay,
so,
yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? But I'm not super well-versed on, like, voice over IPs and all that
yeah,
jazz.
Yeah,
no. But so that's cool, and I like those two things.
Yeah.
I like them and I don't like them because, obviously, it's a privacy issue, but at the same time, it is making people, in my opinion, a little bit more accountable for their actions on this using this app or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Yeah, what?
I just don't like using my full name on stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like using my real name. Like, I hate that my Facebook is even my
yeah.
actual name. Like, I thought about, like, just blowing that one up and making a new one with, like, a sock name or something.
But so what?
But, like, for why? Like, I don't,
yeah.
like, I don't have any reason for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But it's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
because,
I
you
just
know,
don't...
you're giving them this, you know, because obviously,
yeah.
and like we've said a zillion times on this show, if you don't know, or I'm sorry, if you're not paying for an app or something,
yeah.
your data is the payment.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, it's one of these things that, you know, that they're going to be scraping everything left and right.
And, like, I just don't want everybody to see any comment I ever make on any random weird shit post.
Yeah.
And be able to take that out of context
yeah.
or be able to, like, I don't know, 7 years from now, be like, one time you said this.
I'm glad,
like,
that you said that.
Like, that word wasn't canceled
Posts
7 years
after
ago.
30 days.
All right. Okay.
Which I liked that
like
aspect.
That. I do kind of like that.
Because then this bullshit of, like, did you see this thing that could potentially be interpreted as this
yeah.
that she posted 8 years ago?
Sure, sure, sure,
it's
sure.
Like, dude, I was like,
okay, I
kind of
like that.
You
That's
know what I'm saying?
Cool. Yeah.
Like that aspect.
I do like that.
So their main focuses were they want people to stay on topic and tone. Some networks have a very clear topic, tone, and intent, and others are more broad. Don't bombard an obviously pro-X network with an anti-X agenda, and vice versa.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah.
Because like, for instance, and I think I used this example the other day, there is a subreddit called, like I hate onions or something like
sure,
that.
Sure.
And literally, I just clicked on it because I was like, this is just fucking weird yep. that a subreddit is yep. about this. And there's, like, a post in it that it's like, onions are great, da da da. And it's like, somebody went out of their way
exactly.
to just be a dick. Yeah. And they, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's stupid.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, kind of
psych. This is just a funny thing. Yeah. Let people have fun with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, and this was the other thing that was kind of, they start getting into that gray territory that I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I'm on board.
Yeah.
Don't circle the drain. If you are in a contentious debate where anyone is repeating the same points, seems focused on having the last word, and or is badgering others, telepath may lock the thread to end the conversation.
Yeah.
So that's, in my opinion, that's one of these things that it starts to get into that subjective territory.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, I see that how it could be kind of cut and dry, but I could see also where they could potentially overstep, that it's like, well, we don't like where this is going, and we could probably cite this interaction as badgering or circling the drain or whatever. And yeah. so we're just going to go ahead and lock this thread to be safe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know that Allie and I are probably not going
to. Man, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I definitely I'm already like, how do I get in?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I put my name on their wait list already, like, you're talking. Like,
oh, cool,
But, like, I want one.
Yeah. No, honestly, and I want to hear some boots on the ground yeah, from Allie. So.
Now I'm creeping on Twitter to see if anybody has an invite.
Oh, nice. Good call. Because I love how people and these tech companies, they hear all of these complaints about Facebook and Twitter and Reddit and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I like that they're thinking about different ways to try to combat, like, legitimate hate speech and, like, legitimate, like, disinformation, misinformation, yes. all that stuff. But that's also kind of where I'm like, man, I don't know, because, you know, one person's dis or misinformation, they might just have not seen some other source or something like that, you know, that it's like, I mean, I get it that it's like, excuse me, stuff like whatever, Holocaust deniers. And so, it's like,
we'll get
on.
To that in a minute.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to jump the gun. But it's just, it's one of these things that, like, I just don't know if I want tech companies moderating speech to this point, you know? And I mean, like, in my opinion, I think that we really need to have legislation rewritten to include these huge platforms once they get to, like, either a certain user, like, number or, what is it, concurrent user numbers or something that it moves them into, like, a public utility to give them less power over really what is posted, kind of thing. Because, I mean, where, you know, one side could totally, you know, cite whatever, some kind of, like, crazy racist stuff. And then another side could cite, you know, some kind of, I don't even, coup for the government kind of thing or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, neither really has a place. But at the same time, I kind of like more the idea of almost letting the community police itself, in that, like, if an idea is, like, super shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna get backlash, like, as by, you know, or by lots of Twitter threads and stuff. We could cite, I'm sure, a zillion Reddit threads, Twitter threads, Facebook threads, that it's like, people are just getting shut the fuck down.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, you're an idiot. The earth isn't flat. I'm sorry. We have evidence, you know?
Yeah.
Just in case we have any flat earthers out there that
please
are listeners.
Please come on the pod.
I want to know why. Please. But yeah, so I think maybe this is a step in the right direction. And there was one other thing. The other thing, and I'll just pose this to Allie because I don't have the number in front of me.
Yeah.
But what kind of breakdown percentage wise do you think females versus males on like Twitter, and I'm sure that it
changes. I think it's very different per platform.
Really?
Like, I would say Facebook is more women.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Reddit is a lot more men.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter's probably more men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just kind of pulling it out.
Oh, like, yeah. No, just, I mean, and I don't have the numbers. Just kind of my own,
like, experience and stuff. And I don't know if they have the numbers.
Yeah, you know? Well, yeah. And,
I mean, look
and,
look at Reddit. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, and the thing is even with Facebook, if you were going off pictures or, like, profile pictures,
yeah.
I mean, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
How many are bots?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This was the kind of interesting thing, about all of this, or to me, she said, or I'm sorry, let me see, the company's first head of community, who currently oversees all enforcement on Telepath, is Tatiana Estevez. She also joined from Quora. So she, had written about Telepath. One of the most important problems Telepath is focused on is making the community fun and safe for women. We want women to love Telepath, ideally more than the men do. Making women feel good, comfortable, confident, that's critical to an awesome modern conversation community. Given the complexity of online hostility toward women, our moderation philosophy focuses on intent, in quotations. We won't hesitate to be aggressive if we conclude a man has bad intentions. We won't allow trolls, misogynists to get away with repeatedly trolling on the edge of our rules. So I get it, but damn, when you start looking at the intent of a message,
yeah,
that's completely subjective,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but I'm interested to see how it actually is rolled out, and really what kind of moderation and really how stiff they are with some of this stuff, and how for lack of a better word, how liberal they are with kind of the banhammer kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I want to see this in action. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Cause obviously, you know, everything on paper, it never plays out that way.
Sure.
So, but like I mentioned earlier, I thought this was a really cool aspect of this, that they have a key privacy feature that sparked lots more sharing. Conversations delete by default after 30 days.
That's pretty cool.
But they save to your private archive. So obviously they're still going to have, I mean, even if they weren't saving it to your private archive, I'm sure they've got a server that's keeping all of it. But, I do like the fact that it's like no longer accessible by users, with the exception of the person that posted it after 30
days. That's kind
of
like your own, like, I don't really use like Snapchat, but Instagram stories are like that. Like, yeah. I can see my own past stories,
mm-hmm.
which are cool because I keep a highlight reel of like mini reviews of every book that I read.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget to save them to my highlight, but I can go back to my archive and save it later. Even though anybody else could only see it for the 24 hours.
Yeah.
So that's just handy to have. Just, I save threads of stuff that just have like a Twitter post that's like the one I sent you this week. That was like all these unsolved cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. And I would hate that if it got deleted at some point, you know?
For sure.
But also, if you know it's going to get deleted, save the content you want to a notepad or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ways around stuff.
For sure. And I mean, like, I just, I thought that was pretty, pretty neat, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so, and I'll wrap up because I know I'm kind of going long on this one. But first of all, have you ever heard of the term sea lioning?
Yeah.
I did not know what that meant.
Yeah.
Like,
It's always kind of weird. Like, I always have to think about it when I see it. But I've heard it a few times, yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because I feel like it's also one of those things that it kind of comes back to intent.
Yeah.
And I feel like tone and inflections and all this shit are completely lost once you move communication to the digital format.
And people get, you know, people take stuff and they're like, oh, well, you're just virtue signaling.
Yeah.
You're just trying to jump on this bandwagon.
Yeah.
And like, man, you don't know what someone's intent was.
Yeah. And so for the uninitiated, I'll go ahead and I'm sorry, this is the best that I
can
come up
explain
with.
It well, so please.
Yeah. So it's a subtle form of trolling involving, quote, bad faith questions. You disingenuously
kind of a straw man.
Yeah. you disingenuously frame your conversation as a sincere request to be enlightened, placing the burden of the educating you entirely on the other party. If your bait is successful, the other party may engage painstakingly laying out their logic and evidence in the false hope of helping someone learn.
There's also a whole thing where people are like, I don't owe you this emotional labor.
Yeah.
I don't need to
explain myself.
Yeah, like, almost, Google it yourself, right? If you don't understand why this is an issue or what people mean by it. Like, I'm not the champion of this whole
opinion. Oh, yeah, well, and opinion. I guess, honestly, I feel like I would be one of those people that was flagged by accident, because I legitimately, sometimes I'm completely out of the fucking loop.
Sure.
I mean, you know this about me. Fuck. Allie sometimes will come over and she's like, how have you not fucking seen this?
I know,
like,
I know.
Come on, dude. What, do you live under a rock? but so I would be one of these people that, like, I'm the guy that gets downvoted on Reddit because I'm like, because
you misunderstood something.
Just because I'm like, well, so I don't really understand this part. Yeah. And they're like, fucking troll.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I really just want clarification. but anyway, so that's all I got pretty much on Telepath. If you want to sign up for, apparently they've got a thing that you can sign up for.
Their site's just telepath.com, and you can just put in like your name and
damn, how'd they get that fucking domain,
right? That's what I was thinking.
It's kind of gnarly.
I also DM'd one of the co-founders to ask for an invite.
nice, dude.
Well, he was kind of offering them to somebody like yesterday. So
cool.
I was like,
hey man, what's the worst gonna happen?
I'll let y'all know.
Yeah. Well, cool. Okay. Well, I guess we'll be hitting this again once Allie gets her invite and she can report back.
I'm like, will he reply yet? He's in California. It's probably early there. Yeah, it's Sunday morning.
Yeah. Where do you want to go from here?
You mentioned the Holocaust.
Oh yeah, my God, this is
it's infuriating,
facepalm, dude. It really is. It is. How have we gotten here? But.
So Vice covered the story about a study of Americans between the age of 18 and 39. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
all
terrible.
50 states. We're in that category. We're not even the top. We're in there by several years.
Yeah.
And I thought that this was clickbait, and it is not. Nope. The headline is, almost a quarter of young Americans think the Holocaust is a myth or exaggerated. And that's really what their findings were. Now, their study was only 1,000 people, and I'm not sure how they chose them, so I'm hoping they picked up rocks and ask people who lived under rocks these questions.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
But there was 1 in 10 of the group believe that the Holocaust never happened, and 23% believe it is a myth or that the number of Jews who were killed has been exaggerated.
I mean,
it breaks my heart, because like, I.
It's just
the Holocaust
I can't
is kind of like, I don't want to call it an interest. That is very creepy to say, but like, it's so awful that I can't help but be fascinated by it.
It's a morbid fascination.
Sure.
Thing, you know,
and like, I've read some books about it when I was younger and I didn't sink in like it should. I want to kind of reread some of those, but I read some historical fiction that like, They put out the Tattooist of Auschwitz, and they acted like it was nonfiction, but I think it was sort of, I don't know, but
almost like a historical fiction.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, but it was just so, you know, they're not inventing the things that they saw.
In that book, did they like was it? Did you feel like they gave it the? I don't know. I'm trying to think of I'm trying to choose my words wisely. Let me put it that way. Do you think that they gave it the gravity that it deserved in the book?
Like, I mean, within the first few pages, the main character guy is walking into Auschwitz, and there are men who are squatted down and using the bathroom off of, like, logs that are over, like, trenches.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's just demeaning to just see that like on the open and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the guards just shoots and kills one of them just for fun. And like, he just falls. And I mean, that's in the first, I don't know, 5 pages of the book. And I'm like, whew, like this is a very short book, but it is not light.
Yeah.
And just stuff like that. And you know that stuff happened. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, just no respect for humanity.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was, yeah. That, I.
Yeah.
I'm at a loss for words. Anytime that I think about like Holocaust stuff, I think about listening to last podcast, Joseph Mangala.
I couldn't listen to that. Dude, I didn't even try.
Especially even having a child now.
Oh, man.
I mean, and not that it was any better for adults or anything, but like, it just
it's important to learn that shit.
It is important because.
But like, you also have to have your own amount of self-care and like,
yeah,
it's not easy. But at least learn the very basics of how awful the Holocaust was.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
For these kids to think, not kids, these are all grown-ass adults. They're at least 18.
Yeah.
For these people to think that it was, first off, did they say myth? Exaggerated?
Yeah, yeah. Did they say, like, the area that they were?
Oh, no, this was all 50 states.
Oh, okay.
They had, like, I think 20 people from each state.
Yeah.
I think they broke it evenly like that.
I would be interested for like a breakdown in regards to
There's a link to the study.
Oh, okay.
Like to the full They also say that a lot of these young Americans have bought into conspiracy theories.
Thanks social media.
11% I read this part like 4 times. 11% of respondents believe Jews were responsible for the Holocaust.
I mean, I don't even know.
How fucking dare?
I mean, see, this is the thing that's so fascinating about this stuff is like, I wish that I understood even how you can come up with a thought like that and how that seems reasonable. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I can't even in the most
world could they have been considered in what world would anybody deserve the Holocaust?
No. Like, well, yeah, period.
What?
Yeah, hard fucking stop. And honestly, like you said a little while ago, this is just like zero respect for humanity in general.
I mean, just
period. Doesn't matter like I don't care about backgrounds, religious backgrounds, ethnicities, doesn't fucking matter. Just, you don't treat human beings like this.
You don't treat any living being.
Yeah.
You don't treat a plant the way, I mean, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
63% of all of the survey respondents do not know that 6 million Jews were murdered. 36% thought that 2 million or fewer Jews were killed.
But so, and I think that I think I just like whistled by accident. Jesus. Hey! Oh my God, I just thought about the gopher on like Winnie the Pooh. My God, am I really turning into that some snaggletooth dummy?
I wish I could do that accent because it cracks me up so much.
But so, I think that in it more so than conspiracy theory stuff.
I think it's lack of
education and history. Like people do not fucking give a shit about history anymore.
Yeah.
And I swear we are literally doomed to repeat it. We really are, dude.
Holocaust is a myth, we're fucked.
Yeah. I mean, it's which I do have to say, like, and we talked about this a little bit prior to 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Drop in the bucket in regards to sample size. But it's just eye-opening to know that you can even find that many people that have that view, you know. It's just wild.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. They also said that although there were more than 40,000 camps and ghettos in Europe during the Holocaust, 48% of these survey respondents can't name a single one.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even name Auschwitz?
Yeah, that's what, honestly, that's probably all I could name. But
I know some other ones when I see the name. Like, I can just see the name and be like, oh, yeah, that was one. But, like, off the top of my head,
I'm just not really good with, like, Slavic languages.
Yeah, no, me either. So. Yeah.
But
like, anytime I even try to pronounce Auschwitz, I'm like, that's probably a butcher.
Okay. Yeah.
But
it's just, I mean, that's, well, and honestly, I would say that me and you probably fall into that morbid curiosity category. And I would say that not that we would seek that out, but if you're like looking at into stuff like that, it's going to come across your desk kind of thing at some point, you know?
Oh, here's one that they said, only 6% were familiar with the infamous Dachau camp.
Which I wasn't.
I know it when I see it, but I couldn't think of it 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just said, you know, this kind of needs to be a wake-up call. And, like, we need to educate the younger generation about the Holocaust and the lessons of the past. Yeah. Like,
no, exactly. Exactly. It's just wild, dude. That's absolutely wild.
It's just crazy.
So do you have anything, because I've got a quick mention that kind of piggybacks on this to a degree.
Okay.
Talking about mis and disinformation and conspiracy theories and stuff, and you probably saw this, but Twitter is actually going to start not flagging, but having you confirm basically that you know that you're sharing something having not read anything but the headline.
That's pretty cool.
I like that a lot, because even if it's, you know, people still just click through it, at least hopefully it will make people hesitate. And they had some numbers in here, and they said they're going to be rolling it out. They had it in some test markets.
Yeah.
And they're going to be rolling it out for everybody very soon, cool. in quotation marks.
I think that's a great concept.
Yeah, I really, really like that.
Because
headline warriors are the fucking worst.
Well, think about your Aunt Linda that sees something and is like, this is awful, and shares it, and like... Linda, did you even read this?
Don't you talk about my aunt like that. No, I'm just kidding.
You're like, Linda, this is from The Onion.
Yeah. No, but I completely agree.
Yeah, and we talk off the podcast a lot about how sensationalized headlines are.
Well, I mean, so this was really wild, but makes complete and utter sense.
Yeah.
They were talking about how within this, I'm sorry, as a reporter... Which the guy that wrote this, the Next Web article, by the way, if you want to check it out, it's going to be in show notes and the newsletter, or you can just Google, Twitter will soon call you out for tweeting articles you haven't actually read. So it was really funny because at the end of this, he said, as a reporter, I'm well aware of how many people share articles based on headline alone. It's part of why writing a headline takes a disproportionate amount of time relative to the rest of the article. That's so fucked. But the cool thing is they do have some numbers now that they have tested it with a limited number of users. And they noted that people open articles 40% more after seeing the prompt. I love that. That's awesome.
That is great. That's the point.
People opening articles before retweeting in general increased by 33%.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then some people ended up not retweeting after actually opening the article. So,
that's cool.
I think these are all pluses because I think that we have a big problem with information sharing these days.
Yeah.
And people just seeing a headline and like, you know, like, we're not going to beat a dead dog, but like seeing a headline, retweeting it, and not thinking twice.
Yeah.
And then it blows up, and then we find out, oh, wow, that's not actually what's in the article.
Yeah.
So, but, so hopefully they'll roll that out sooner than later. But that was just kind of a quick mention in the Twitter, an update in the Twitter sphere.
I like that.
So, yeah, I think that's I like that change because I don't think that it's actively swaying anybody. It's just saying, hey, you sure about this, bro?
Yeah.
You know, do you have all the data points or are you going on one? So,
I love that.
But so I was going to say, let's see. I've got one last, unless you've got one.
I've got one happy thing.
Okay, cool.
Should we do it?
Yeah, we'll cruise with that.
Okay, and trust me, this is happy. It will not sound like it. And then I will explain.
Yeah.
But there is a rat named Magawa. Mm-hmm. He is a 5-year-old African giant pouched rat.
Oh my. Now I have to Google what an African
giant he looks rat. Like just a normal rat. Okay. It says he's 2 feet long. I don't know if that count. I don't know if that counts tail or what. There wasn't really anything in the picture to compare him to. I don't think he's huge. Yeah. But he is the first rat to receive a gold medal award for the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals. The award is for like bravery and loyalty in his job.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's the 30th winner of the award. All the other winners have been dogs. I clicked and looked through.
Yeah.
He, like, discovers landmines and unexploded ordnance.
That's awesome.
But because rats are so lightweight, he can't set them off. So he's fine. He's safe.
Oh, that's so... So dogs can set them off pretty easily, I guess?
I'm not sure if dogs do a great job with this, but they train rats for it. And it's so interesting.
Oh my God. Do they have rats on leashes?
Dude, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They kind of just let them roam. They've got like little harnesses on. Yeah. But they just let them roam and they can find the stuff by sense of smell.
That's super cool.
And then, like, when they find it, they just stop and they kind of dig at the ground so you know it's there.
I wonder if, in so comparison...
Yep, I got you.
Oh, yes!
Magawa can search an area the size of a tennis court in 30 minutes.
Wow,
a person with a metal detector would usually take 4 days to search an area that size.
Holy shit, that's awesome. Good on you,
buddy!
Yeah.
When he finds a mine, he scratches.
Yeah.
And, like... There's hardly any risk of energy injury because he's so light.
Yeah.
So it's way cheaper and quicker and safer than using humans to do this.
That's awesome.
And the rats live really good lives because like they retire after a few years and they give them a lot of treats and they eat well and that's stuff. Awesome.
I just had this like, I don't know why, but this mental image of like, a rat being thrown like a retirement party and it like getting on this plane and going to like some deserted beach and sipping Mai Tais like with some rat sunglasses.
With all the cheese that it wants.
Yes, exactly.
But man, we were watching some show and it's been a couple years ago and there was a part where they were showing rats doing this and I like freaked out because I was like, oh no, I don't want to see, because I'm afraid I'm going to see a rat explode.
Yeah.
And then they explain like they can't send him off. And I'm like, oh, he's just a little good dude doing his job. Okay, good.
That's awesome though.
He has discovered 39 landmines and 28 pieces of unexploded ordnance and helped clear more than 1.5 million square feet of land in the past 4 years.
Dude, that's awesome.
What a dude. So, and he has this tiny gold medal in the picture. Like, it's rat size. So it's that's so good. Awesome. It's so good.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. We might need a photo of that in the newsletter.
Oh, it will be in the newsletter.
Okay, cool.
Hell, I might post it in the group, too, because he's such a that's good awesome. Dude. That's
awesome. And so, is he one of a kind?
No. He is part of a Belgian nonprofit called Apopo. I don't remember what all it stood for.
Yeah.
They have an initiative called Hero Rats, and they train rats to save lives by detecting landmines and tuberculosis.
That's interesting.
I didn't look into that part. That was not really mentioned much on here, but they're trained to detect TNT.
Yeah.
And they can sniff it out, so he can just ignore scrap metal that a human with a metal detector would pick up.
Yeah.
So, like, he can be like, oh, this doesn't matter. This is an old can or whatever.
Yeah. That's so awesome,
it's so neat, man. Yeah. His main handler said that he is very quick and decisive, but he is also the first one to take a nap during a break. I feel that, buddy.
Hey, man, if he's clearing that kind of, like, dude, square footage.
Work hard, he nap needs hard. A nap,
dude. Yeah.
And this sounds like a little dating profile.
Yeah.
When he's not in the minefield... This 2-foot-long rat likes snacking on bananas, peanuts, and watermelons and taking a spin on the running wheel.
Yes! Hey, man, you gotta stay in shape so you can sniff out them bombs.
But they said they're gonna be sure and give him extra treats now and that he'll probably retire pretty soon because they usually work for 4 or 5 years. And then they get a retirement filled with play and exercise.
That's awesome,
What
dude.
A guy, man.
So, I wonder what, in comparison to a dog's sense of smell... Like a I rat.
I think it
has.
May just be specific that theirs works well with the smell with of the, TNT,
yeah,
maybe.
The different components.
The Apopo website probably tells more about it, and there's links and stuff. What
That's so cool.
Initiative, that's super cool, man. Yeah. Oh, they, because they get into this is, he works in Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
Cambodia, let's see. More than 5 million landmines are thought to have been laid in Cambodia during the ousting of the Khmer Rouge and the internal conflicts in the 80s and 90s.
Jeez, dude.
And there's unexploded ordnance dropped in U.S. airstrikes during the Vietnam War.
Dang.
Huh. So, like, he's got some work.
Yeah.
Since 1979, more than 64,000 people have been injured by landmines and other explosives in Cambodia.
Dude.
Yeah.
Well, that's so awesome that they have, like,
yeah.
I mean, it seems like this is more of a jumping off point. Like, it's just getting revved up.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, the program. And the more, you know, land that he clears as being safe,
yeah.
like, then people can just be there. Like, yeah. and they're not going to have to worry that if they step wrong, they're yeah. going to lose their leg.
God, I can't imagine that.
No, it's like, terrifying.
That's wild.
Oh, yeah. I'd never go outside.
Yeah. Right. Ugh. Oh man, well, rock and
so
roll.
Cool.
That was a perfect cherry on top.
Good
I think
for this rat.
I think I'm going to cover mine next week because it's not time sensitive.
Sure.
But I will tease it a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Basically, we're going to talk about how time travel, and this isn't a supremely involved article, but how time travel, you can do it as much as you want. And it's not going to change things in the future.
That's
which
cool.
is pretty neat because everybody, you know, has heard of like the grandfather paradox and all this stuff. You
have
know?
You? Did you ever read 11/22/63?
No, it's all that's the Stephen King
yeah.
one, right? Yeah,
it's not horror or anything. It's, yeah. it's about time travel. It's really good. I was listening to a podcast this morning, mm-hmm. their episode covering it, and I was like,
good stuff.
Man, a book group I'm in, like a whole bunch of people are jumping on, and like
yeah.
they've all bought it and started reading it. And I'm like. Kind of want to reread it.
so you've already read it.
Yeah, I read okay. it. It's been a few years though,
gotcha,
but it's really good.
Yeah,
yeah it's, really
it's
cool.
on my. It's I have a copy of it.
Yeah,
it's I gotta
beast,
get
though,
through
dude.
All
it's
of
like
it.
800 pages or something because
yeah.
it's King.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I know, man.
He's the most long-winded motherfucker I have ever seen in a writer.
This one I feel like kind of deserves it.
Oh, really?
Because it's got a lot, and he really did a lot of research about like Oswald and stuff.
Yeah.
So that part's neat. But cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, there's so many books. I don't need to be rereading stuff.
Yeah, right. I feel you. Well, we will leave you with that, you, the listeners, with that little tidbit to, I don't know, maybe get you to come back next week for
yeah.
the full episode. But I'm glancing at the time, and I believe we have arrived.
We've done it.
So let me put on my social jingle shoes. have you ever, I really would like to like try to tap dance, and I know that it's super
random. I took tap
random,
dance as a kid.
I feel like it would be like right up my alley because I mean, I'm, you know, love like rhythm and percussion and all that stuff. And so it's like, I mean, it's just it's, you know,
if you take up tap dancing, I'm never going to stop laughing.
As a 34 year old, I'm going to call down to the bar and be like, hey, can I perform on like,
oh
I don't know.
Oh my God. They'll be like, perform what?
The first Monday of every month.
Oh my God. That would run people off. They would not let you.
You don't think people would want to get drunk with me and watch me tap dance? I'm kidding. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and cruise on. Let us know what you guys thought about this episode. And literally, we really want some good feedback because I know that some of the stuff that I cover, it's kind of a slog because it gets into like legal shit and like a little further into the tech industry than probably a lot of people want to get. But let me know because honestly, I can tie it up a lot quicker than I have in the past.
Man,
so.
And I've got some QAnon stuff that I yeah. just keep adding to, and I'm like, I could make a whole episode. This is a lot.
Ooh, why don't we do...
Ooh, we could. You want to?
Yeah, actually,
yeah,
that wouldn't
do.
Be a bad,
let's
that
do,
wouldn't be a bad call.
I've already almost got enough.
Well, so I was just going to say, like an Untethered, just
yeah.
dedicated to QAnon.
Yeah, let's do that.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let us know what you guys think, whether you'd like to see a QAnon Untethered or not, or whatever. We want some feedback. So you can send that to tetherradio@gmail.com. That is tetherradio @gmail.com. We are on Jack Dorsey's Twitter sphere @tether_radio. He will be checking all y'all headline warriors moving forward, so get on the boat. Instagram @tether_radio. Facebook, Tether Radio, all one word. We have the ever-bustling Tether Radio After Dark Facebook group. Thank you to all the people that have just made that absolutely just a blast to
be a
part of.
We have a good old time.
Yeah, it's super fun. If you haven't gotten involved in it, join. It is a really fun group. We've got the Read with Tether Facebook group. Allie, you want to do a little blurb on the upcoming Facebook or book club?
This Thursday, the 1st of October, wow, holy shit, October, we are going to be talking about Devolution by Max Brooks. It's pretty short. It's about the Sasquatch massacre that happens after
the Mount Rainier
erupts. And I'm liking it so far. I like the writing and stuff. It's pretty cool. So I think it'll be a fun one. I think I'm excited for stuff to happen.
Oh, I got notes, y'all.
Yeah. But it'll be pretty casual. We just kind of hang out. There's no quiz or anything. So if you want to just hang out, there'll probably be spoilers. Hey.
If you just want to see how the book club goes, we'd love to have you come hang out and just, whatever, opine on our opinions. So
that'll be a Google Meet at 8 o'clock Eastern.
And I did see, just to mention this on air, they're actually going to be capping Google Meet meetings to 60 minutes. So we might actually have to, because I think we went out close to an hour and a half.
Probably, yeah.
Or maybe we'll just have to disconnect and reconnect.
I was gonna say we can just hop out and hop back in if it's already switched over.
But we'll figure that out and keep you guys posted. Yeah. We also have the Tether Radio newsletter that Allie absolutely knocks it out of the park every week. It is so fun to read. I don't get to read it until you guys get to read it. So it's super fun. You can sign up for that at tetherradio.substack.com or by going to our pinned tweet. So I believe that's it.
I think that's everything.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for joining us for right around an hour and a half for episode 117 of the Tether Radio podcast. I'm Daniel.
I'm Allie.
And we are thanking you guys again. Tell all your friends and come back next week because we miss you guys. We like talking to you.
Yeah.
So take it easy. And until then, we love you, friendos.